August 1st, 2017, it's the Watt from Pedro Show. For Pedro Show, first day of August in Pedro. Brother Matt still in his summer mode, so also yeah, with his teeth and now hip. So everybody, please wish Brother Matt much health. Started the show off John Coltrane doing Tunji, and then we had King Pedestrian with Plunge, which brings us to our guest, because I'm not totally alone through the magic of those engineers in Estonia via Skype. We got Brock from, well, currently Midwest Medicine, but this was an earlier band?
That's right, yeah. This is a band out of Boston.
Something when I was in college. From the 90s.
No, so this would have been early 2010s, whatever okay. You call that decade.
Because you had a song called 1992, so...
Oh, yeah, yeah. Gotcha.
It was just a guess. I wasn't there. I don't know. So that's why I'm having you on the show. I want to learn about... I want to go back before early 2000s or early 90s. Brock, I want you to tell me your earliest musical memory.
That'd probably be chasing a golden retriever around the dining room table, like our pet dog, and listening to I Get Around by the Beach Boys, and just like that being the activity for dancing to I Get Around.
Was you chasing the dog? Where was
chasing the dog?
Was this Boston?
This is in Ohio, so I grew up in Ohio.
Which town? They got a few of them.
Chillicothe.
Okay. That's an old native name, huh?
Yeah. I think it means home.
Yeah, right, right.
Yeah,
I was reading about that stuff. Also close to the river. Yeah, mound cities and stuff.
Yeah, exactly.
It's really interesting.
All around there.
Yeah, that's you don't see in the cowboy and Indian movies, but
yeah,
was a big part of the country, early part of what we call the country now. So. You remember running around chasing the dog to Beach Boys. So your parents played records? Was there music in the house? Were any of them players?
Yeah, for sure. I remember my mom like blasting music while she was cleaning the house and stuff. Like, and in car rides, of course. But specifically, like, early memories are of like my mom being home and playing music loudly, like a Fleetwood Mac.
When we talk about playing, we mean like playing the record player. Or did she play?
These were CDs.
Yeah. Or the CD player, whatever. She didn't operate an instrument.
Right.
And did your pop play?
No.
So what about older brothers or sisters or anybody playing music? Nobody's playing music. They're just listeners.
I was the first one to really start messing with music.
Do you remember the first record you bought?
That I actually purchased?
Yeah, that wasn't given to you. Like, you went out and got it.
I think that would be an Offspring CD.
The Offspring, the Orange County Band, yeah.
Yeah.
Let's get to school. Did you ever do music in school?
Choir class and stuff like that. Like, just like singing.
Well, I'm curious how you found out about the Offspring. Was there kids at school?
My older friend, Josh, he's like a family friend. He's like, best friend and, I don't know what age that would have been, but he had the album Americana, and like the album art was so like violent and mysterious.
Okay.
Just like cartoons, and then there was some, healthy dose of parental advisory material.
Oh, you mean like dirty words in the lyrics?
Yeah, that was attractive.
Okay, what about
it was like fast, mysterious music.
I mean, you end up playing instruments. How did you get involved with working instruments instead of just choir?
So I was writing songs a lot, just like vocally, a cappella stuff, and recording myself on my computer. And, you know, I think just having those choir classes, like the music classes in elementary school, and, you know, learning other people's songs, and just trying it out, you know, writing, doing the same version of what I was learning, like just basically writing lyrics and singing them. And then my mom.
Oh, but you're writing the original lyrics.
Yeah. And every band that I was ever into, I'd always try to write, you know, their version of songs, like try to get their lyric style down and stuff. I don't know if that was conscious, you know, but it's just like that was who I was.
You mean they'd influence you when you try to create on your own? Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, definitely.
So you'd go through different phases because different records you're listening to.
Oh yeah, I'd suck every band dry and just move on.
But just with Spiel, not with really guitar, drum, bass. Yeah.
Yeah. It wasn't until about like sixth grade until I was a guitar. I think my mom had a guitar that she and my dad got her for Christmas.
Oh, really? And so you did have an instrument in the house.
So, yeah, I ended up playing.
But she didn't play it.
Playing her guitar, yeah.
She just had it. She never learned how to play it.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, what was it, acoustic?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bentley was the brand name? I don't know.
And what, here, you can have the guitar if you take lessons? Is it one of those deals?
Yeah, and I never had lessons. It was just mostly like sitting on the couch and watching TV while I'm...
Sure.
Smacking this thing and figuring it out.
You didn't have anybody show you. You just autodidact.
Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, online guitar tabs and guitar magazines and stuff were huge help.
Wow. But it's man alone, basically.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay. And so you start writing songs on the guitar.
Yeah. Like, you know, as soon as I, you know, play one note, writing one note songs. It's because I had the means to record it and hear it. And
also, yeah. You'd already been doing it with the voice.
Exactly, yeah. So that was a key.
Okay. Do you remember one of the first songs you wrote on the guitar?
The earliest one I can remember, like, recording was this, it was about the trash man, because I remember just like looking out the window and seeing the trash man, and it's kind of an embarrassing in retrospect. It's like it's looking down on the trash man, saying that would be a crappy job. You know, it's kind of like a funny song about like it's smelly and stuff. And then it didn't take me very long to feel kind of bad about that song.
Well, the cramps, there's this kind of celebration.
Yeah, exactly.
The garbage bin, right? You got to beat it with a stick.
Yeah. That was 10 years in the future, you know that.
Okay. Yeah, you'd heard only Offspring. You hadn't heard Cramps yet.
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah, I was just trying to be goofy.
Could you tell there was a difference?
What's that?
Could you tell there was a difference? Because obviously that Cramps music was much before, but for you it came later because of your situation.
Oh, yeah.
You could feel a different trip. Yeah, okay.
For sure.
I'm curious. Okay, so what about playing with different people? Like you told me, one of your first bands was what we started the show off with, King Pedestrian.
So I don't think it would be fair to people that came before that to call
that
one.
Okay, not the first.
Because I had like a kind of like I was never in a band with drums until I met Mike, drummer and Kick Pedestrian, like really in a band with a drummer. But before that, I'd always be in like kind of like duo partnerships with. Early on, there was my friend Dustin. I kind of helped teach him how to play guitar. And after I played a Green Day cover in the middle school talent show, and he saw that and he was into that band too, and went over to his garage and taught him how to play his guitar, and we became like best friends and basically brother figures ever since.
Did that band have a name?
We eventually had something called Man Bats.
Man Bats, all right.
Yeah.
One word?
Yeah.
Okay.
And we just, you know, once I got like an 8-track multi-track digital recorder, we just messed around with that, recorded ourselves, and yeah, he was the first guy I learned how to really jam with. And
well, you didn't flow me any Man Bats, so I'm not...
Oh, no.
I don't have anything to play, but I do have some more King Pedestrian. And this is why I thought they were from the 90s, because this song's called 1992. You want to listen to it right now?
Yeah, that sounds great.
Bird. All that doesn't make sense. Deft father wore that same silly half-cocked grin with that pipe stuck in his mouth. Always his private joke. Obvious to him, at least, the sheer frivolity of being alive. We flocked to him for wisdom, for fairness, decency of life. We got a good joke. God damn it, my mom shrieked. You and your stupid pipe. My dad just smoked and smiled. Everyone demands attention to stand alone and be counted fair. My dad was a wise judge. He just hid it all behind his wreath of smoke and that silly patient smile. Some are quick to decide who has been kind or perverse. My dad loved us all. Smart as the sun, he was willing to wait and let us find life secrets. To learn to love and be kind, you need some kind of disguise. This stupid look is excellent. The biggest lesson we learned hereafter, he decided to leave us, the wonderful man with a dopey smile.
Thank you. like your picture taken. You cover your face with your hair, which is now silver gray.
That was 1992 from King Pedestrian. Then we had The Space Pony with Mountains, Godzilla Snacks, Modern Perv, Revoluta Roja with Desechando Verde, Thirsty in the Rain, Revolt 1989, a brand new Boris, Memento Mori, Joe Brewer, Pipe Dope, Sun Shapes with First 11, Howie Reeve, years ago, and finally Guided by Voices with second to the newest, latest. Try it out. It's nothing. In fact, the story of our guest here, Brett Ginther, with where we're at right now is Man Bats. Now, how does Man Bats get to King Pedestrian? Because we don't want to leave anybody out.
So, okay. Well, an important figure to note would be Cody Sowers. He became an incredibly close friend of mine in high school, and we just did. He was writing his own songs and recording them, and I was doing the same, and it kind of became someone to share with and compare with, and that really helped propel my own home recording interest, you know, just having a peer, and I really enjoyed playing with him, and we only have a few things recorded together, but, you know, and so throughout middle school and high school, I was doing a ton of home recording, and that's pretty much how I developed whatever songwriting style I have today.
But not really gigs.
Oh, no. Gigs started with this band, Coaster Phone, which was senior year of high school with an older a friend I met through a friend online, magic of MySpace, saw some, you know, bands I liked in his profile, and we started a little band, and there's a song, it's a Midwestern medicine song called Puppy Dreams that's based on a song that we wrote together, and is
kind
of
we're going to play that later in the show.
Okay, yeah, maybe that would be a more fitting time to talk about that.
But no, it's okay.
That was a huge evolutionary step as well, just playing with these different guys and figuring out how to be a band, but not really playing with a three-piece until King Pedestrian in college.
And that's how that happened, college guys.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. What school was this?
This is Emerson College in Boston.
Sure. Okay, so you're playing with guys you didn't grow up with, guys you just met at school.
Right, yeah. Mike, I met in a music appreciation class when I spoke up to say something was bullshit in the class, and he was like the only guy to be like, yeah. And we talked about it on the train, and I recognized, you know, we recognized each other, and we ended up just on that, based on that alone. He came over and played the drums with me, and we were a two-piece band for a while. And
where'd you get that name?
So we were, at first we were Suspicious Packages, and then
that's a good one.
And then we had a song called Royal Blood, so we just named the band Royal Blood, changed it to that. And then there were way too many bands called that. This is even before the popular Royal Blood existed. There's a band now that's pretty big called that same name. And anyway, so wasn't totally comfortable with that name and with how many other bands and kind of like, you know, same level of listenership and Googleability were out there. So King Pedestrian just kind of came out of nowhere and seemed to feel right.
And when do you add the third guy?
Oh, that was, so we had a bassist Casey first with Suspicious Packages for a bit, and it was, I don't know, when we played with Mike's roommate and eventually like one of my best friends, Eric, and that just gelled better than Casey. It was like awkward, the first band breakup I ever had to experience. The only
so far. Drama.
Yeah, yeah, and Casey was an awesome.
Now, I know one of your first gigs was that talent show where your buddy saw
yeah.
you. But at this point, you guys are doing gigs, right?
Yeah, so we played the first show I really played with Casey was also the first show I played with Eric. Eric came in at the, it was pretty awkward, like we played a full set, and then Eric came in for the last few songs to play the songs we'd been playing with him, and it was really terrible. Like, you know, that's
what,
really
like two separate bands.
Yeah, kind of in our set, but you know, that was it was only fair to play with Casey because it was our first show.
Sure.
And then we were excited about the songs we had worked out with Eric. So, and then Eric became the bassist for King Pedestrian, and we were together for years there in Boston.
Okay. So, yeah, kind of transitional. Yeah. Awkward. Well, when you mix friends and bands, maybe it's like that.
Just
I don't know.
Proper nouns here. I'm sorry.
Okay. No, it's all right.
It's meaningless.
Stuff you gave me of King Pedestrian, you guys recorded this. Was this home recording or did you go into a studio?
So funny that you just played GBV, because we recorded those with Todd Tobias, who recorded a lot of
that's right.
Yeah, with a lot of GBV and especially a lot of Pollard and
Circus Devils. Was there something else from there? Spaceships from Boston or? He had a project. So, he was playing with some Boston guys. I know.
Well, Boston Spaceships was
that's it. Boston Spaceships.
Yeah, I think Pollard may have recorded the vocals for Boston Spaceships with Todd, but I'm not totally sure about that.
Okay, but yeah, there is a connect.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Pollard's very prolific.
Oh, yeah.
He just did his 101st album.
So, yeah.
You know, like this double album I got, it's already old.
Yeah. That'll happen with that.
Yeah. And, Anyway, do you think they had influence on you? Like, you were talking about Offspring beforehand, but what about by this point? Are you listening to other bands, like Guided by Voices?
Guided by Voices happened in high school for me, and it was, like I said, I just kind of, like, migrated from band to band from, like, puberty forward. I just sucked every band dry and moved on, tried to find as many as possible to really, like, get obsessed with. So,
did you would get what you were like buying records, collected?
Yeah, for sure.
And what about gigs? I know Boston's got a great scene for going to see gigs.
Oh yeah, saw a lot of great stuff when I was there. Actually, you mentioned Boston Spaceships. I got to catch them at the Paradise whenever that.
I remember
was
Paradise. Toward. Yeah, kind of. Paradise. It was by the university.
Yep.
Yeah. Kind of a comedy club. Fire always played there a few times.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, in the older days.
Oh, cool.
Not real old days, but older. Did King Pedestrian ever tour?
No, I mean, we did, like, one-off road show. Like, we went to, you know, Troy, New York, or Montpelier, Vermont. Kind of just stuff around. We played in L.A. once, just for a friend's...
that's the other side of the country.
Yeah, that was kind of a reunion show for us, and it was our friends had a DIY space, Nod, which is defunct now, and it's now kind of reincarnated as Non Plus Ultra.
Oh yeah.
Cool. Yeah, exactly.
I'll tell you though, kind of lame as far as park, it's in a neighborhood.
Yeah.
So there's no park. I guess you got to live and just walk there.
Well, they're looking for a new space, so maybe that'll be
okay.
Solved.
Yeah, if you're going to have a venue, man, have somewhere to park, because if you live in Pedro, you're 30 miles away. You can't hook or hobble. In fact, I got lost.
Yeah.
Just some interesting drama at that gig. But the people there, everybody was beautiful. I dug it.
Yeah, cool.
So that kind of played itself out with your college life?
Well, you know, it's just that, Eric... our bassist, he moved to LA. He's working in sound now for film primarily. We all just kind of went separate ways. I ended up getting married and moved to the Northwest for a couple years. And so that was just, we all did that around the same time, kind of exploded. Mike went to New Orleans, so. It was never an official end. You know, we could always get together and play. We have this muscle memory. I'm still not sure after all these years, but, that kind of just, our personal lives took that and to where it is.
And split you up and spread you across the land.
That's right. Yeah.
Those things happen. But it was really important because, like you said, your first band that you're doing gigs and recording with guys.
Oh, yeah.
And instead of just the home thing. So the ensemble. So I think that's important. We're at the end of the first hour of the August 1st, 2017 edition Watt from Pedro Show with our special guest, Brock Brock Ginter. Hold tight for hour two. August 1st, 2017. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pedro show.
I amplify the inner voice and let the trickster do his worst. I fill the ego full of air until I make the pucker burst. But then I always make the choice to grab the fragments from the ground. They hypnotize me with a stare and with their awful shrieking sound. I wanna
il cane e il mio nonno. if they boy me from my land.
Watt for Pedro show. Start off the second hour with one more tune from King Pedestrian. Escatude. What is that about?
I guess it's about ego. And I don't know. I guess whatever I was into at the time.
So you were like the main songwriter of the trio.
Yeah.
So, into tune. Okay, I'm into that. Either too much or lack of. Then we had the Unks. A bunch of stuff from Italy here. And Dimascio Fulvio with Fascio e Vida. Mio Nonno. And Arabia Saudada, Grande Successo. Frog Women with Without Getting Bored. Centauri, Always the Same. And finally, B from Super Freak. Super Freak. Rick James, a bass player. King Pedestrian ends up getting, not broken up, but geographically displaced.
Yeah.
Spread across. So what about this Midwest Medicine? Now, how's this come about?
So, yeah, between King Pedestrian and Midwestern Medicine, there was a kind of a identity crisis. I spent a year in Portland, Oregon, and played by myself, and that was kind of strange, figuring out how to play by myself. And then
did you just call it Brock Kinter?
The Breakfast Cowboy.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, you didn't send me any of that.
I thought about it, but I
maybe later on. King
Pedestrian, and I'm proud of that stuff. So.
But it's kind of like this segue.
Yeah, for sure. Like, I've been doing home recording and kind of releasing Brock Ginther albums / the Breakfast Cowboy albums for a bit, but I never really had played by myself until Portland, Oregon. It started out kind of awkward, but then when I moved to Olympia, the community there was so inclusive and just, I don't know, supportive, and I think I figured out what I was doing in terms of a solo performer.
Yeah.
It's slightly more entertaining as just one guy than... Yeah, I figured out if you don't want to have any time between songs, if you're doing short songs as a solo guy, it's kind of awkward, so you just barrel through is the best way. Stuff like that. And then...
You mean rather than have big old spiels?
Yeah, I try not to talk much unless it was organic, you know. So, I don't know. That was definitely good for me to feel comfortable on my own after, you know, playing with the band for so long and just getting that baseline of performance down. And I don't know, knowing I can be with a group, like a room full of people without them rolling their eyes. So when I moved back to Portland, my wife's family's from Maine, and we hung out here trying to...
You're talking Portland, Maine, not Portland,
Oregon.
Portland,
Maine, yeah, that's confusing, sorry.
That's all right.
Yeah, but good catch.
You've lived in both Portlands.
Maine. Yeah.
I don't think a lot of U.S. people could say that. That's happening. So you go back to Portland, Maine, and mm-hmm. No more Breakfast Cowboy?
When I first moved back here, I tried some open mic stuff, and it felt kind of awkward. But I ended up just putting a Craigslist ad, and the first response I got was from Ryan Saxton, current drummer of Midwestern Medicine, and he liked the home recordings I posted, and he liked posted the King Pedestrian stuff. This is Craigslist, and the I put down like some bands that caught Brian's eye, and he sent me some Whale Oil stuff. They're McRae and Brian's,
and of course I got a connection with Whale Oil.
Yeah. And I loved that. So it was just like we got together and it was an instant fit, and we just, you know, like 15 new songs happened pretty immediately. And just
as a duet.
Yeah. Well, as a three-piece, yeah.
Okay, how'd you bring in the third?
Well, so Brian and McRae both from Whale Oil.
Right, you bring McRae in. Okay.
Yeah.
Listeners out there, McRae's a great bassman.
Oh, yeah.
I got to have the honor of sharing the stage with him, caulking at his pad, drinking whiskey with him. Good guy. I just got to see him with the meat puppets in May. He was at the meet there. Yeah. And so, right away, you guys write 15 tunes.
Yeah, we
Okay, what about this one? We're going to hear a Static Question. Was that in the first batch?
What's that?
Was it in the first batch?
No, not immediately.
Okay. But let's listen anyway.
Some kind of question.
We don't talk too much about that anymore. Gracias. Marco Serrato, al contrabajo. Borja Díaz. Que casi no ha dormido hoy.
Guardia Urbana, diga.
Policía Municipal.
Sí, dígame.
Buenas tardes.
Buenas tardes.
Yo le llamo en nombre de ella. Hipercorte de Meridiano va a explotar a las 3:30. Sobre todo que salga la gente a los aparcamientos.
¿A las?
A las 3:30, 4:20.
¿A las 3:30?
4:20. Que salga todo el mundo y sobre todo del aparcamiento, que no se mueva un coche.
Donde tú quieres que yo esté, se ve que yo no estoy llegando, pues no hago más que encontrarme en la calle que fragmentos de cuerpos humanos. En junio los pechos no tienen hueso, los lunes vienen perdidos de mostacho, en invierno la soga atada al cuello de tu que hostias andas mirando. Donde tú quieres que yo esté, está lleno de mutilados y en el pecho hundido de un sucio viejo he visto un cartel que ponía cuidado, cuidado donde pones las manos, que te estamos desde aquí observando. Y una mujer se ha arrancado la cabeza y me está dando golpes con su cráneo.
¡Dinero! ¡Dinero!
Dinero, 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 que fragmente los cuerpos humanos, que andan circulando bajo el cielo como productos recién ofertados. Donde tú quieres que yo esté, dos mujeres. Rodillas, tobillos y brazos, fragmentos de cuerpos.
Watt for Pedro show. We heard a stack question from Midwestern Medicine. Then part three of Free Anxiety Therapy for Poor 101 from the Healers. Sputnik Trio, Lie, Don't Let Them Know. Las Víctimas Civiles, Fragmentos de Cuerpos Humanos. And finally, Nels Klein, It Only Has to Happen Once. So do you remember the first Midwestern Medicine gig?
Oh, for sure, yeah. So Whale Oil was playing at All Roads Festival in Belfast, Maine, and, you know, McRae and Brian were pretty excited about Midwestern Medicine, so they asked the organizer if we could slip in there. Meg, who organized the festival, you know, took a chance. She hadn't heard us yet, and we got the earliest slot and the very first slot of the festival and
opener.
You know, we did, yeah, and we didn't get paid or anything, but you know, that wasn't obviously the point. But so we got a.
I think it was a 30-something gig that the Minutemen did when first time we were paid. We did a lot of free gigs at first.
Yeah. We may have gotten about like $50 or something, but you know, which is definitely something. I just can't remember. Yeah. So we played that All Roads Festival, and then just kind of.
How was it? Was it scary? Pants shooter?
Yeah, it's definitely. there weren't a ton of people there, but then.
Yeah, we call those character builders.
Yeah, I guess people that were there liked it enough to ask us to do other things, and it's kind of. Naturally snowballed, which is relieving.
How's it different playing with these guys than playing with the King Pedestrian?
One thing is that I, and this has come with time with Midwestern Medicine, but at first, you know, with the King Pedestrian guys, like, It was Mike and I at first, and we just spent a ton of time walking around Boston and just kind of talking about things and talking about the songs and, you know, becoming like really close friends almost at the same time and in supplement to practice. And, with Midwestern Medicine, it was at first almost felt like a more professional relationship. And, you know, we show up to practice and we get to know each other at practice and sometimes, before and after and that kind of thing and, you know, socially. But it's like Mike and Eric and I put in a ton of time. We ended up living together for a year and just really became like inseparable group. And so that took time with Midwestern Medicine. Obviously they're coming from Whale Oil that was a brotherhood and, you know, I was a new guy. And I was coming from my brotherhood, and you know, it took time for me to even feel comfortable.
No, I hear where you're coming from. It's been the second hour, August 1st, 2017 edition of Pedro Show. Hold tight for hour three. August 1st, 2017, it's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro Show.
Brand new face on the force. Tattooed mantle to laugh more. Now outside of the bricks, the mullet is special guy, red flock in the wind, the crooked audience could file down, taking it in, connecting faces to the file down, starting with more. The scanner in your shop room saying something hostile about your home. Better let the boss know someone's getting shot now, where's the phone? Shut it down, the follow express that was unlimitedly installed. Spread a test until the phone line in your phone. Slip too hard.
one on the nose, one on the chin. You grew so easy, so why stay with him? He uses you just like a human punching bag. But you don't complain. You're too scared to speak. Anyway, it only really hurts you when you laugh and when you eat. But you can't break the pattern week after week. The bruises show, but he must be special. Otherwise, you just get up and go. That's quite a cut on the side of your head. Is it from his fist? Or did you really fall out of bed? You cry alone, but you never tell us what it's like when you get back home.
Found a new restaurant the other day. It's called a Fricka's something. And there she sat like a cat on a vinyl poster when we first met. She was a redhead with long legs and many tiny freckles. And she watched me from a mirror as I carefully approached her. So we went out for coffee the next day. It was the same place and it was sunny, I think. Just somewhat quieter this time, and the band played I Left the One Waiting. And then she said, "I got you a gift," and handed me a postcard of a Norman Rockwell painting. The one with the boy playing on a stool, and then she pointed and whispered, "This is you." And there was nothing written inside, and I had nothing left behind. Really nothing. We soon booked a cruise together to swim with the dolphin, climb some hills. I still like cats more, I figured later, but the view was fine if you took some pills. We did most of the small islands in Mexico. Had about 2 weeks in July with nothing else to do. Tried tribal dance and Thai beer and other things. Summer 60 fucking nights playing all day through. I haven't checked my mailbox since last February. Maybe I gotta cry, refill my tear ducts and cry again. Just buy something online that finally plants me. But killing you all seemed like such a good idea back then. Well, I'm sending flowers to many girls recently. I'll save an old piece of bread and fed it to the birds on the end of the sea. But I still miss Dr. Coop and guerrilla tactics and the funny looking lizards down in those hills. And I miss Australia, where I've never been to. There's a pink lake there. It's really, really pink. And I miss scary monsters and super creeps and all, but you know, it's really you that I miss the most in Mexico. I think I'll buy a shirt with a cat on it, or a nice hat made of a cat, or maybe climb a high building to send out the message that I had enough. But none of these things will bring you back. I think I could finally get last year's taxation done, but even that won't bring you back. Even that won't bring you back. And none of these things could bring you back. None of these things bring you back. Thank you.
Watt for Pedro Show. We started the third hour off with the Winking Badge from Midwestern Medicine. Then David Gerard, Michael Bruckner with The Rise Before the Fallen Away. Grandpa's Ghost with A Little Bit of Abuse. Tip Pui with How to Cancel Last Date. Pumpkins out of China with Drunk Fish. Got to play with them a couple months ago. And Bronx, Osaka Bandits, I think they just played in Pedro. But we had to play a downtown at Smell, which I heard is going to get knocked down in November for a park construction. That's fucked up. Jim's a good guy. But back to Brock here with the story of Midwestern Medicine is where we're at now. And so when do you guys start recording?
So that was a few months ago. We just, my friend Brad Krieger, he owns Big Nice Studio, good friend of mine, and he had us down there in Providence, Rhode Island, and we recorded about 15 songs in, you know, a day or two, I guess just, we're still working on mixing those and mastering them, but some of the performances are better than others, of course, when you do that many songs in that short of a session.
Sure.
But, we've collected a few of them and kind of put out like a digital, EP or partial album, just whatever you want to call it digitally right now in Bandcamp. We have some mastered songs up from that session.
Okay, was with the Winking Badge from that?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. And Static Question.
Right, yeah.
And we're going to play next, Puppy Dreams. You had something to say about Puppy Dreams. It was the first tune?
So this was a Coaster Phone song. My friend Matt Workman, the working title of this was Matthew, because it was that pure tribute to Matt, who he wrote the vocal melody. It was when we had our kind of like recording project and Coaster Phone, and it was like a riff that I...
Coaster Phone,
yeah.
Okay. Yeah. I don't remember you talking about Coaster Phone.
I may have mumbled it, like, nervously mumbled it, like, a bit ago, but, so this was a high school band, this is...
So what you did was you repurposed some older stuff for Midwestern Medicine, okay.
Yeah, so I took the riff and melody of the song to make a song about my old bandmate Matthew and the like exciting feeling of starting these bands and being into music and like exploring music literature and just really just giving the band thing a shot. So it's kind of about that enthusiasm and trying to reconnect with it.
Puppy Dreams. Okay, let's listen right now.
Never felt like groups that lost it. Not some friendship now. all this bad weather. Here come the train wrecker.
Watford Pedro Show, the last music for this edition. Midwestern Medicine with Puppy Dreams. And you heard the story. It was kind of, well, not nostalgia, but like repurposed from high school to beyond in life. It shows you some stuff comes in cycles, people. It's okay. Scott H. Birum after that with Train Wrecker. Then Round Eye with Richie. I think they're on tour in Europe right now. L-A-N-G-S-A-M, Anagram Band with Cole. Layman, Another Time. Automatic Sam. I think they're out of Holland. Storm Coming. The Milo Man. Yeah, they're out of Zagreb, Croatia. Thunderstorm. And finally, Chato Ghetto. Empty Carnival off their brand new record. Pretty intense. Little journey there. You were talking about this song, Puppy Dreams. You referenced this book. The author, Michael Azarov. Yeah, you want to say something about that, Brock?
Yeah, so there's a line in there that's, we let those Azarov and Reynolds, being Simon Reynolds, accounts be Bibles of sorts, colorful portraits of beings so big, so mythical, yet goddamn livable. And that's a reference to both, like, the book, Our Band Could Be Your Life, and the characters within, meaning, such as the Minutemen. And so, you know, obviously a fitting song to send
for
your
way. Listeners out there, Michael wrote a book, and he used a line from a song I wrote called History Lesson Part 2 for the title. But he was talking about some bands that were around during the 80s. Mission of Burma's in there. Butthole Surfers, Dinosaur, Husker, the Minuteman. God, there could have been a ton more. In fact, that's what some people complain about a little bit. But as we were saying off air, I'm really glad Michael wrote that book because people were not talking about those times. How did you find out about it?
So I saw that book in a Barnes & Noble after... I had just bought Sonic Youth's Evil.
Oh yeah, they're in there too.
Yeah, and I knew of you through the song Providence, and I knew the like Never Gave a Damn About the Meter Man.
The poem.
The poem.
You know what? That's not me reading it though. That's Thurston. You're talking about Evil.
Yeah. I didn't know that.
The way they did it was.
Sorry.
That was an interesting thing. The way they did it was, I had driven a company, Kay, to New Haven because she was doing an internship at Yale. And on the way back, I stopped in the city, New York City, and they were doing that album. And they had me play Kim's bass for this jam with Steve Shelley. And Rinaldo told me he was going to make some poem about a car wreck over it. And Thurston actually asked for my Meter Man poem, because I read Meters in the 70s and I wrote a song, a poem about it. And he recites it. And then, you know, it became what it did. I also played along to a Kim Fowley song. Yeah. Bubblegum, something off Frankenstein with Steve. But again, you know, the other guys, they put their stuff on later. But that was really interesting because it's the first time I play bass from after D. Boone getting killed. You know, I kind of stopped playing a little while there. I didn't think anyone wanted to hear me without him. So, got to give a lot of credit to the Sonic Youths and Thurston in particular.
Yeah.
Lee, Steve, and Kim, for getting me back in the saddle. So, you knew a little about us there. You see this book.
I see the book. I know that lyric, and I look in the back, and I see a few bands that I know, but I don't know, like, the bulk of them when it comes down to it. And this is still... you know, the era where I have, you know, Sam Goody, the record store in Chillicothe, and Walmart, and what I can find there. And this kind of gave me some bands to research, you know, to look up. And I know it's the same for other people. It was a huge thing for a lot of people. I passed my copy around to high school friends. It was so romantic, you know, like just, and got us pumped about listening to music. And because it's just, really ecstatic journalism. Got us into a lot of bands and excited about making. And Matt from Coaster Foam.
Speaking of literature, you know, being inspired, what about zines?
See, I wasn't exposed to zines.
See, the zine thing, people, you got to understand, the zine thing kind of went over.
Yeah.
I thought it was going to get extended to the internet because it's the same kind of ethics and values in a way. You know, no middleman. But it didn't happen. Yeah.
If you think about it, like, I guess some of those opinions that would be expressed in zines, some of that art, you know, the equivalent's probably out and about on the internet.
Yeah, but they're like stuck in ghettos like Shitter and Fake Book. Yep, I thought everybody would have their own websites and everybody would almost have their own zine.
trust me. Yeah, I'm a web developer professionally now, like, and I always had websites, and I missed that internet.
I thought it was a total, I don't know, sharing of values between zine culture and what could have the potential of the internet.
Yeah.
It's weird how that got lost.
You're right, yeah.
But it might still get discovered. You can still get domain names, people.
Yeah, I think it's getting easier for people to, with certain tools, you know, it's getting easier for people to make.
Rock, what advice would you give to somebody if they asked you about music? Maybe they're younger and because of your journey, Brock, what could you tell me?
I would say to record yourself a bunch and listen to it and make the changes you want to make based on what you notice, and listen to music and write music and be excited about it and keep writing and thinking.
I like that. I think that's great advice. It's really simple, but I think it's core. A great honor to have Brock Ginther, Midwestern Medicine, on board. August 1st, 2017 edition of Watt for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.